Think about the last time you flew commercially, or the last time you stood at a gate and looked out across the ramp at a major hub. At Frankfurt, or Atlanta, or Dubai, or Singapore. What were you looking at? Odds are better than even it was an A320. An A319 on a thin regional route. An A320 on a medium-haul city pair. An A321 on a busy trunk route with every seat filled. Maybe one of the Neo variants, with the larger fan engines and the sharklet wingtip devices that give them that unmistakable silhouette on the ramp. The Airbus A320 family is, by any measure, the most successful commercial aircraft program in aviation history. More units ordered, more delivered, more airlines operating it than any other jet program on record. It is the narrow-body workhorse that holds the global airline network together. When carriers from Ryanair to Indigo to American Airlines need to move people from point to point reliably and economically, the A320 family is the aircraft they reach for. This week, Airbus Chief Executive Guillaume Faury said the company is, quote, very committed to launching the aircraft that replaces it. Target for that launch decision, 2030. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about what it actually means to replace the most successful commercial jet program ever built, and what that means for the pilots in the industry that will fly whatever comes next. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Before we get into the successor, let's take 60 seconds on what Airbus is actually trying to replace. The original A320 first flew in 1987. It entered airline service with Air France in 1988. At the time, it was genuinely revolutionary. It was the first commercial airliner to enter service with a digital fly-by-wire flight control system, and the first to use side-stick controllers in place of conventional yoke controls. Airbus was making a fundamental statement about how the pilot-aircraft relationship should work. The fly-by-wire system included envelope protection. The flight control computers would not allow the aircraft to exceed its certified flight envelope, even if the pilot commanded it to. That was controversial when it was introduced in the decades since. It has become the design philosophy that defines every Airbus commercial aircraft, and it has influenced how the entire industry thinks about the relationship between automation and the pilot in command. The family grew from there, the shortened A319 for thinner routes, the stretched A321 for higher density operations, and most recently, the A321 Extra Long Range, which takes a single-aisle aircraft to transatlantic capability through structural fuel tanks and aerodynamic refinement that would have seemed implausible for a narrow-body aircraft a decade ago. The A320neo family, where NEO stands for New Engine Option, launched in 2010 and entered service in 2016. It took the proven A320 airframe and fitted it with next-generation turbofan engines CFM International's LEAP engine, and the Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan both came to market on the NEO, delivering fuel burn improvements of roughly 15-20% over the previous generation CFM56-powered aircraft. That improvement was significant enough to justify a derivative program rather than a clean-sheet design. The NEO is the aircraft flying today. But Faury's announcement signals that Airbus believes the era of derivatives on the A320 platform is approaching its limits. Here's what you need to know about the phrase launch decision. In commercial aviation, a launch does not mean an aircraft flies. A launch decision is the moment when a manufacturer formally commits to building a new aircraft. They finalize the configuration, open the order book to firm commitments, and mobilize the engineering and supplier network. It is the transition from study phase to program entry into service comes years after that. The A320neo was launched in 2010 and entered service in 2016, 6 years. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner took longer, even with modern computational tools and decades of accumulated certification experience. Bringing a new commercial airliner from launch to revenue flight is a multi-year undertaking. If Airbus makes a launch decision in 2030, a reasonable estimate puts entry into service somewhere in the mid to late 2030s. Call it 2035 to 2038, depending on complexity and how smoothly the program runs. That framing matters because it sets the context for why decisions being made right now in 2026 determine what that aircraft looks like. And the defining question for the A320 successor is propulsion. This is the whole game. The A320neo launched because the new generation of turbofan engines offered meaningful fuel burn improvements on an evolved airframe. If the successor is going to justify a clean-sheet design rather than another derivative, the propulsion technology has to represent a step change. Not 15%, something significantly more. CFM International, the joint venture between GE Aerospace and Safran Aircraft Engines that produces the LEAP engine, has been publicly developing what they call the RISE program. RISE stands for Revolutionary Innovation for Sustainable Engines. The RISE architecture uses an open fan design, sometimes described as an unducted fan. In a conventional turbofan, the fan is enclosed in a nacelle, that housing you see around the front of every modern jet engine. The open fan removes that enclosure, allowing a much larger fan diameter that moves more air more efficiently. The theoretical efficiency gains are significant. CFM has published numbers suggesting more than 20% improvement in fuel efficiency compared to the LEAP. In the economics of airline operations, where fuel represents the single largest variable cost, 20% is a number that rewrites fleet planning spreadsheets. But open fan architecture at commercial narrowbody scale has never been certified. The noise characteristics are different from a conventional turbofan. The installation on an airframe requires different pylon and integration design. The certification path through the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA, and the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, is a new road rather than an evolution of existing rules. These are solvable problems, but they are not trivial ones, and the timeline for solving them is part of what Airbus and CFM are working against right now. Hydrogen propulsion is the other technology that frequently comes up in discussions about the A320's successor. Airbus has its own hydrogen aircraft program, which they call Zero-E, targeting a regional hydrogen-powered aircraft in the 2030s. The theoretical advantages are real. Hydrogen combustion produces water vapor rather than carbon dioxide, which addresses the core emissions concern in commercial aviation. But hydrogen has serious practical challenges at narrow-body scale. Energy density per volume is lower than conventional jet fuel, meaning you need substantially more tank space for equivalent range. Liquid hydrogen requires cryogenic storage. The airport infrastructure to fuel hydrogen aircraft at scale does not exist and would require enormous investment to build out across the global network. The consensus view in the industry is that hydrogen propulsion is a longer runway than the A320 successor timeline allows. That does not mean hydrogen is off the table for future programs. It means the 2030 launch decision is likely to center on an advanced conventional or open fan architecture with sustainable aviation fuel compatibility built in from the start, rather than a fundamental shift in fuel type. Composite materials are the other major variable in the airframe itself. The A320 family uses composites and secondary structures, but its fuselage and wings are primarily aluminum. The Boeing 787 and the Airbus A350 both demonstrated that a composite primary structure is certifiable and delivers meaningful weight and maintenance advantages over the life of an aircraft. A successor built with a composite fuselage and wings from the start would be lighter, more efficient, and potentially lower in long-term maintenance cost. The engineering challenge is scaling composite manufacturing to narrow-body production rates. The A320 family has been produced at rates approaching 100 aircraft per month across Airbus's global production lines. Composite structures are more complex to manufacture at that velocity than aluminum. Solving that production equation is part of the industrial challenge behind the 2030 target. Now, let's talk about the competitive dimension, because this announcement does not exist in a vacuum. Boeing and Airbus have been competing in the narrowbody market for more than four decades. For much of that period, the Boeing 737 was the market leader and the A320 was the challenger. Somewhere in the past decade, those positions effectively equalized, and by some order count measures, the A320 family has become the market leader. Boeing's current narrowbody is the 737 MAX, which returned to service in 2020 following the grounding that came after two fatal accidents and the extensive investigation that followed. Boeing has publicly acknowledged that they are evaluating their own next narrowbody design. But their timeline and configuration for that program remains far less defined publicly than what Airbus is now projecting. If Airbus launches a defined successor program in 2030 with engine selection, launch customers, and a certified development path, Boeing faces a narrowing window to respond. In commercial aviation, the manufacturer that defines the next narrowbody standard typically captures a dominant market position for 20 to 30 years. The original A320 entered service in 1988. In some form, the A320 family has been the primary Airbus narrowbody offering for nearly 40 years. Whoever defines what a narrowbody looks like in the late 2030s is defining the airline system into the 2060s and beyond. That is not an overstatement. It is the reality of how long commercial aircraft programs run once they achieve mature production and widespread pilot-type rating penetration. From a pilot's perspective, there are several things worth watching as this unfolds. Type rating commonality is going to be a major discussion. The A320 type rating is the most common commercial jet type rating in the world. There are tens of thousands of pilots worldwide who hold it. Any successor program that Airbus designs will face enormous commercial pressure to offer type commonality with the existing A320 pool, or at minimum, a streamlined transition training pathway. Whether regulators accept that commonality will depend on how similar the cockpit and systems architecture actually are. If the successor is substantially different, airlines face significant retraining costs. If commonality can be established, the existing type-rated pilot population becomes a competitive advantage for the program's adoption. The automation and pilot interface design will also advance the fly-by-wire philosophy the original A320 introduced. Airbus's newer programs, the A350 and the A380, evolved that cockpit architecture considerably. The successor will almost certainly incorporate further envelope management advances, enhanced synthetic vision integration, and potentially new modes of pilot and automation interaction that current aircraft cannot offer. Maintenance implications matter as well. The A320's service infrastructure is the most extensive of any commercial jet program. Maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities worldwide, from major carriers to independent shops, are built around its requirements. A successor with substantially different systems demands significant retraining and retooling investment across that entire ecosystem. Airbus has strong incentives to design commonality into the ground support equation alongside the cockpit. For airlines doing fleet planning today, Fori's announcement is a signal about timing. If you're a carrier evaluating whether to commit to additional NEO aircraft or hold for the successor, 2030 is the reference date you're now planning against. A carrier needing aircraft in 2035 has a very different calculation than one needing them in 2040. The announcement is, in part, a message to airline fleet planners. Airbus is telling them, we have a plan, we are committed to it, and here is the timeline you should plan around. What comes next over the next several years is a sequence of increasingly concrete commitments. Engine partnerships will be formalized. Aerodynamic concepts will move from computational models to wind tunnel testing. Customer discussions will shift from preliminary studies to pre-development agreements, and at some point before 2030, Airbus will make the program or no program decision based on those variables. The two biggest conditions are propulsion technology readiness and launch customer commitments. If the open fan architecture is mature enough to underwrite a development program, and if major airline customers are willing to sign firm orders, 2030 is credible. If either condition slips, the timeline adjusts. What Fori's comments confirm this week is that this is a live program, not a research paper, not a public relations exercise. The internal commitment is real, the engineering investment is real, and 2030 is the frame around which Airbus is organizing that work. The aircraft that every commercial pilot in the world will spend a significant portion of their career flying is being designed right now. In Toulouse and Hamburg, and in engine test cells in France and Ohio, in airline fleet planning departments that will eventually sign the launch commitments. 2030 is not far away. Source for today is Simple Flying. Find us at radiohangar.com. I am Tower on ATIS. The next narrow-body era starts now. We just won't see the airplane for another decade.